Chapter 3. Redwall Orchard was a riot of blossoming fruit trees and bushes. Pink and white flowers clustered thick on every branch, their petals carpeting the grass. Apple, pear, cherry, beech, hazelnut and almond trees flourished in rows, fronted by raspberry, strawberry, red currant and whortleberry. Summer promised an abundant yield. Torren cast an eye over three trolleys laden with buffet lunch, spring vegetable soup, brown bread and cheese, dandelion and burdock cordial, followed by a dessert of damson preserved pie.
"Who did all this?"
Abbot Carroll bowed apologetically, knowing how touchy the Ottercook could be about trespassers in his kitchen domain.
"I offered to help Grandmum Gerville. You looked so hot and weary when I met you in the orchard for a breath of fresh air. Gerville and I decided to help you out. Is it to your liking, my friend?"
Torren bowed thankfully to them both.
"My thanks to you. I couldn't have done it better."
Redwallers sat in the tree shade, laughing and chatting amiably as lunch was served. Sister Portula spread a rug and Torren lifted Martha onto it. All four sat beneath a wide chestnut tree at the orchard's far end. Sunlight and shadow dappled them as they watched the inhabitants of Redwall enjoying lunch. Martha appreciated such moments, because the elders always included her in their discussions. The young hermaid felt she had become an honorary member of the elders' council. Martha laughed at the antics of the Dibbons, who were beginning to get a bit rowdy.
"They do get excited after a rainy spring indoors. Look at Baby Huge, he's eating flower petals."
Sister Portula shook her head.
"There's Shilly and some others doing it. I'll wager 'twas Muggum who started it all. Muggum, Shilly and Uch are more trouble than any 10 Dibbons. I call them the terrible trio."
Torren's stomach shook as he chuckled.
"You're right, ma'am. Hey there, Springald. Go and tell those little'uns to stop eating the petals, or Sister Setiver will have to dose them with physics."
The mousemaid Springald shrugged carelessly.
"Flowers won't do them any harm. I used to eat petals myself."
Abbot Carroll glanced sternly over his glasses at her.
"Do as you are bidden, miss, and don't argue."
Springald curtsied slightly, then flounced off to do as she was told. Sister Portula pursed her lips and tuttered.
"Yonder goes more trouble. She's one of the other three. Haughty, Springald and Fenner, the young rebels. They aren't babes any more. They should know better."
Martha put aside her cordial beaker.
"Oh, they'll grow out of it, sister. They're all good creatures at heart, I'm sure."
Portula helped herself to bread and cheese.
"Let's hope they do, before there's real trouble. I'm sure we were never like that at their age, were we, father?"
Abbot Carroll raised his eyebrows.
"Weren't we, sister? I can recall two young ones sailing a dining room table on the pond. Aye, with an embroidered linen tablecloth for a sail. Let me see now. What were their names?"
Sister Portula fidgeted uncomfortably with her sleeve hem.
"But that was only a bit of fun. You and I were well behaved as a rule."
Martha could scarcely believe her ears.
"You two? Well, you rascals! Did you get caught, father?"
Behind his small glasses, the abbot's eyes twinkled.
"Oh, we were caught sure enough, and both set to work in the kitchens as punishment. Remember that, sister?"
Portula nodded ruefully.
"How could I ever forget 5 days of scrubbing greasy pots and scouring pans? My little paw stayed wrinkled for half a season."
Martha winked cheekily at the recorder.
"Haughty and his two friends seem innocent compared to you and Abbot Carroll. What a pair of rogues you were."
A light smile hovered on Petula's kind face.
"Listen, missy, if you think we were naughty, you should have seen 2 Dibbons who were younger than us at the time, Bragoon and Sorrow, an otter and a squirrel. Now those 2 really were a twin pestilence."
Martha turned to Torren.
"I've heard you telling the young ones tales about Bragoon and Sorrow, but I always thought that they were make-believe creatures. Were they actually real?"
The Ottercook nodded vigorously.
"Oh, missy, that they were. Bragoon was my big brother, 5 seasons older than me. Sarabando, or Sorrow, as every beast knew her, was a Dibbon squirrel, his best little pal. Sister Portula's right. You never saw two villains like him. Ha! It was just as well they ran off whilst they were still young'uns. If and Bragoon and Sorrow had stayed, we mightn't have a roof over our heads. They would have demolished the abbey between them.
Whilst Tordon had been talking, some of the Dibbons and a few of the young'uns had gathered around. Muggum scrambled up onto Tordon's lap.
Yer, sir, you'm tell us in the story about Sorrow and Bragoon.
Tordon chuckled.
Well, you can't bring one to mind right now, but I can recite a poem I wrote about them for the harvest feast many seasons back.
Taking a swig of cordial, he tried to recall the words. Shilly waggled her tail impatiently.
Well, hurry up and get on with it, Cookie.
The Ossacook twitched his nose at her.
Silence, you little rip.
Draining his beaker, Tordon launched into the recitation.
I'll tell ye a tale of two Dibbons who lived here long ago. An otter who was named Bragoon, and a squirrel known as Sorrow. Oi, little Bragoon and Sorrow, what a pair of scamps they were. Their names rang through the land, oh, there was naught they didn't dare. Good Grandmum Gerville Molecook made puddings, cakes and pies. They vanished off the kitchen shelf before her dear old eyes. Bragoon and Sorrow, I'll be bound, the poor old beast would say. They'll eat me out of house and home. They'll turn my fur to grey. Bragoon and Sorrow, gracious me, I dread to hear those names. Come, hearken whilst I tell ye of those two scoundrels' games.